You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Fritz Mitchell on earlier. We also talked to Matt Hayes. Busy first hour. A lot of time for calls now in the second hour. We'll continue with a number of guests, including the head coach at Mississippi State, a little bit later on. Let's check in with Irvin in Georgia. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. How are you?
We are doing great. Thank you.
I just want to follow up on the what you mentioned about Todd Monken at the top of the show.
Yes.
Do you think that he should go to the NFL? Has he been in the NFL? Or as a coach, should I haven't heard anything about any college coaches or college team reaching out to him. Do you think he should remain in college or go to the NFL?
Well, you know, let's remember, he's been in the NFL before, so he has experience.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I believe he was with the Browns. I'm trying to remember where else Monken was, but he's been there. Yeah, Bucks and the Browns. So, there's not a template for what someone should do. It seems to me like the NFL coordinators cycle around and end up getting a lot of head coaching jobs. It seems like most of the jobs come from coordinators. But on the other hand, when you're at Georgia, you're on the biggest stage in college football, and Dan Lanning just landed the Oregon job with not a lot of experience. So, I mean, I think if Monken just needs to decide where he wants to be. I don't know what that answer is.
My next question is, and you talked about you had somebody come on about the quarterback, and I do agree. I think I would rather see Gunner stay at Georgia, but I know Vandergriff is probably going to transfer because he's done it before.
Right.
And I think the LSU quarterback is going to transfer because when you watch the SEC game, when they put him in, he threw about two or three touchdowns, so I think he's probably gone. But my take is on Georgia is I think Vandergriff is going to leave.
Yeah, I think you're probably – by the way, Monken has been a head coach at Southern Miss. So, thanks for the call. I think what Matt said earlier is really where you have to keep your eyes. It's that May window. Because a lot of these guys are going to know where they stand. I mean, we sometimes laugh about spring ball, doesn't mean much, but it does. It means a lot more now with the transfer portal, because these guys are going to see themselves not winning the job, and coaches have to be very careful. It used to be that coaches were careful. You always had the coach say, even in late August, I don't know, I'm probably not going to know until the first game. That what they were trying to do was keep their quarterback room intact, and now it's a bigger issue, and it comes a lot earlier. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check in with Will in North Carolina. Hello, Will.
What's going on, Paul?
Hey there.
Beautiful day. Maybe an hour up I-77, it's about 60 degrees. What you got down there in Charlotte?
It's in the high 50s. It's probably the nicest day we've had in a while.
Yeah, it's nice. This is going to be a short and right to the point question. I want to get outside, put you on the radio. I got some things to do outside, but I was sitting over the weekend. I think this kind of gets overshadowed with things going on, but I can't really. I go back to maybe the 2000s, but I can't really remember Tennessee having this solid of an athletic program in my lifetime. I know you go further back more than me, so I mean, Tennessee baseball was great, top team in the nation, football, top one or two, and basketball, top five. Can you recall a time in Tennessee's athletics that they've been this well-rounded?
Not when you consider that in every sport now, basketball, they were number one recently. They were number one in baseball most of the year. They were number one in football briefly, but they were still number one. No, I can't think of one primarily because the football program has been bad for so long.
Right. That's what I was – I can only go back to maybe the 2000s, but, I mean, since we've, got our act together in football – basketball, we've been
the all-time
years.
Model is this, Will, and I appreciate your call. It's Florida. What was it, 2006? They won the national championship in football. They won it in basketball. That is, to me, one of the most remarkable feats. They actually won back-to-back in basketball. Let's continue with more phone calls. And Bobby is up next in Colorado. Hello, Bobby.
Paul, how are you? All
we
the
are great.
Best to you in 2023.
Oh, it's great to hear from you. And I think I heard from you not too long ago. Did you? I really appreciate that. No, we were all talking about how great it was to hear from you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. I do better with writing to you, but
you're quite a writer.
Thank you. Thanks for receiving that. And thank you for your kindness in 2022 with my wife's passing. You sent a very nice sympathy card. I appreciate that.
Sure.
And if you could relay also to Iman, he prayed for my wife and I when she was ill. And I never forgot that. But I saw your white linen on and the gray flannel suit and the gray tie. I said, I have to call Paul, and I'm doing my monthly bills, and I really wasn't acclimated to or inclined to call, but when I saw your sartorial splendor, it would have been a sin if I didn't try to call in. But I just wanted to wish you a good 2023 and thank you for your kindness. The other item, talking about sportcasters and such, maybe it's me because I'm old and feeble. The talk shows on ESPN or even CBS and the other networks, when there's a round table, there's a lot of yelling and screaming. And even like for the pregame experts like yesterday, I said, my gosh, there's six fellas behind the desk, and I yearn for the good old days when it was just Chris Berman and Tom Jackson doing the football reviews. It was simplicity is always graceful, but there's just seems to be a lot of yelling and screaming. Other than that, I have a real good Coach Bryant story, but I want to write to you regarding that.
Okay.
I don't want to take up too much time today, so I'll let you critique what I just said, please.
Yeah, Bobby, I'm not a big fan of some of these shows either, and I did see one or two yesterday where it just becomes too much. I understand that all these people bring something to the table. I'm on enough of these shows, but you can't talk softly any longer. It's just not, you are not heard if you do.
Yeah, correct.
And there's a lot of reasons for it, but I do, maybe it's age, maybe it's just, being from a different background, but I can't handle it either.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for your kindness here. And thanks for receiving my letters. I do better.
Bobby, I remember reading it a couple of weeks ago whenever we got it. It meant a great deal. And I commented, I think, to Danny Bramwood here, how thoughtful you have been to all of us here as well. So you continue to make progress in the new year. And I know it's not easy, but we always enjoy hearing from you.
Thank you. And my wife, Marie, thanks you as well in her spirit world. Thank you so much.
I'm so glad to hear that. Bobby, you be well. Take care of yourself. Thanks so much for your call. And let's check out Ed, who is in Alabama. Hello, Ed.
Hello, Mr. Feinbaum. How are you this afternoon?
Ed, we are doing great. Thank you for the call.
I want to say I love your show, and I watch it on a daily basis. I just want to pass along a little info to you, Paul. I got just a little while ago. Today in Tuscaloosa, Nick Saban is interviewing the offensive coordinator of the Washington Huskies, Ryan Grubb. So I just wanted to pass that along to you.
Well, thank you. Yeah, Ryan Grubb's got a big reputation. I think he was at Fresno State. And he's knocking down a couple of million a year as the OC at Washington. So I think he just got extended out there. So this would be a big deal. It's a name nobody had heard of before in relation to this job. But thanks for the scoop. We got a regular Chris Lowe reporting there to the show. We'll take a short break, and we are back right after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And Phil is up next as we continue. Hello, Phil.
Paul, how you doing? Too many in-betweens in our conversations.
Well, I'm glad you're back.
For Will, up the slope in North Carolina, and you in Charlotte, 84 in Jacksonville, looks like it may break a record today.
Oh, my goodness. That's
somehow we're parked on the southern end of some type of front, but keep bringing it. I'm old, and I don't like the cold.
No, I don't either. And it's I'm always happy to see February because that means the spring at least is within 6 weeks.
I remember growing up in Lexington. February was the darkest, coldest, dire month of the world. I'm sure. I don't know if it's that way in Memphis or not.
No, Memphis was always. I always thought Memphis was cold. Then I went from Memphis to Knoxville, which was even colder.
You were climbing the hills.
Yeah. No. A snow day up there was not that big of a deal. But yeah, I am not happy with cold weather.
Let me address a little bit of the basketball history. I know have you seen it or are you?
I have not seen it. No, I've seen the previews like everyone else.
Okay, I'm interested in tonight in the fact that I started going to Kentucky basketball games when I was 5 years old. In 1955 or thereabouts, and I think Adolph Rupp was easily, this was even before the NBA started, at the end of World War II, Kentucky was the basketball team in America. They went to New York. I got to know Bill Spivey, who was the most outstanding player in the 51 Final Four, 7 foot guy, ended up blackballed, and very, very angry man about all of that, and I understand that. But I think part of Adolph Rupp's problem was his first name coming out of World War II.
Right, exactly.
And a lot of people that blame him do not understand what went on in the Southeastern Conference back in the day. Let's remember that Mississippi State, under Babe McCarthy, had some great teams in the late 50s and early 60s. They won the conference championship, I think, 3 years that they refused to go to the tournament. And let me tell everybody out there with your ears on, this is not ancient history. This is reasonably recent history.
No, you're right.
They refused the bid because they would not play against teams that had black players. You remember that or not?
Well, yeah, I don't remember, but I've talked to people connected to that, and in fact, talked to the son of one of the coaches on Babe's team, and I'm not going to defend them because I think he tried to do the right thing within the framework of history. But you're right. Hey, by the way, speaking of Adolph Rupp, I once wrote an article, one of my early articles, very critical of him, and I misspelled his name like Adolf Hitler, and I got a long note from his son excoriating me, and we ended up talking. I think I called him, and we were able to see eye to eye, but you never make that mistake. You don't when it's AD, you don't go LF as Adolf Hitler.
That was the late great Herky Rupp.
Exactly.
Who was our high school coach. And the story about his coaching at Lafayette, he came into practice one day, and a guy kicked a basketball, hit him in the head, and knocked him out. So anyway, I'm looking for a fair go-around. I think that, really, if you're going to write a history of SEC basketball, the whole damn thing is about pretty much Kentucky, other than, you brought it up earlier, the 2 years of Billy Donovan in Florida. I don't count the Arkansas championship as SEC. It was 2 years after they joined the league, but it's mostly you were there for Ernie and Bernie. They beat Kentucky in the season, but never got to the tournament. You can talk about that.
Yeah, well, the problem was Ernie and Bernie were two of the most famous players in SEC history, but they did get to the NCAA tournament 1 year, and they lost in the first round. And as a result, it really doesn't compute to very much. But at the moment, again, I was an impressionable 19-year-old. I thought it was the biggest thing in the world.
They were great players. You know that.
Sure.
Both of them. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you very much. No, SEC basketball is fascinating. And I will say, if you're talking about SEC basketball, you obviously have to talk about Adolph Rupp. Babe McCarthy was mentioned. Ray Mears, who was the coach at Tennessee. You must consider the conversation about Dale Brown as well, who went to two Final Fours at LSU and maybe did as much to change the perception of college basketball as anyone who's ever coached. Thanks so much for the call. Let's check out Don in Georgia. Hello, Don.
Good afternoon, Paul. Good to talk to you again. We got cut off last week.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And we were talking about Frank Howard, but for all these football fans, I wonder if they know that Bear Bryant's first coaching job was in Athens, Georgia.
I don't think they did, because I don't think I did.
Well, this is in Kerry Keefe's book. He had gone to apply for the head coaching job at Arkansas the day Pearl Harbor happened.
Right. I do remember that.
And then Carney Lansley and Frank Mosley all applied to coach with the Naval Air Station schools. And all three of them came to Athens, Georgia to coach the Naval Air Station team, and they actually played other university teams.
Okay, Don, I did know that. I thought you meant, I misunderstood. But, yeah, I'm aware. But that's fascinating, the fact of they were in Athens.
Yeah, coaching that. And that school, that naval school, is still there in Athens. But the question, the other question I had for you, as you were talking about announcers for the different teams earlier, did you ever know the sports information director and the announcer for the Arkansas Razorbacks from 1948 to 1970?
Who was that, Don?
He was my uncle, Bob Chain.
You know, I sadly I missed him because I didn't start covering the SEC till for about 10 years later.
Right. They were in the Southwest Conference back then.
Right. Yeah. No. He was both the sports information director and the broadcaster.
And the broadcaster for both football and basketball back then, and he started the Razorback Radio Network. He and my aunt went around and signed
that
up.
That is
over
amazing. So he would have been there during the heyday of Frank Broyles, wouldn't he?
Yes, he was.
Wow.
He certainly was. And my cousin was a kicker for the Arkansas team when Frank Broyles was there.
That is really interesting. No, you must have had some great tales.
Actually, my cousin Tommy led the nation in punting that year, but didn't get credit for it because Arkansas only punted 17 times all year.
Well, that's pretty funny when you think about that. Listen, I grew up in Memphis, as you may have heard me say, so Arkansas was a big team to me, and I've told my friends in Arkansas, I was an Arkansas fan growing up, because it was across the river, and I was distraught after that 69 game.
Well, the first time I got to watch them on television, I think they were playing Oregon, and the first two times that Tommy went in to punt, the center centered it over his head.
Oh, my goodness.
He didn't get the punt. So the third time they changed centers, and he punted over his head into the end zone again, and he didn't get the kick, but then he went on to lead the nation in punting.
That is really remarkable. Well, Don, thanks for sharing that story. I'll next time I'm in Arkansas, I'll check around and get some more stories about your uncle. AJ is up next in Pell City, Alabama.
Hey, Paul.
Hi there.
How you doing today?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Good. Hey, I just want to touch base about, I read that report about Stetson Manziel getting arrested this weekend.
Stetson Baker Manziel.
Hey, I wonder what Stetson's younger brother Kirby Smart said to him when he called him after he found out about it.
Well,
one thing
Stetson didn't have to worry about was being carded. I don't know any more details than what I heard yesterday, but it is the kind of story that, I mean, Stetson's been, ever since they won the title 3 weeks ago tonight, he's been all over the news about getting into a feud with a local talk show host. I don't know. I mean, listen, he deserves all the credit, and I don't think this is going to be a big deal. These things can be pretty minor with good lawyering. Hey, thanks for the call. We're heading to a break. More to come with a couple more guests. We've already had Fritz Mitchell and Matt Hayes. Dennis Dodd returns to the show.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. We talked earlier about Pac-12 expansion. And when you think about expansion, you think Oklahoma, you think Texas, you think Southern Cal, UCLA. Do you think San Diego State? Well, that's apparently what is going on right now. And we will talk to Dennis Dodd, who has written about this subject for CBS Sports. Dennis, always great to have you on. you seem to think this is a pretty good idea. I'm not dissenting. I don't know enough about San Diego State. I know they have a good program. Good afternoon. Tell us all about it.
Hey, Paul. No, I don't know if it's a good idea or not. I just think that it's going to happen. It seems to be trending that way. I spent a day at San Diego State just trying to, you know, stick my finger in the air and engage the interest. And I quoted one person who ought to know in the story that it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when San Diego State joins the Pac-12. Now, this is going to be a two-tiered situation. They've got to get their media rights deal done, which is in a critical situation right now. Typically, these sort of negotiations don't go this late. USC and UCLA start in the Big Ten July 1st, 2024. We're inside 18 months. That's a long way to wait to do a media deal. Number two, then they have to decide if they want to expand. And it looks like San Diego State is going to be at least one of those teams. Why? There's a giant hole in Southern California in the Pac-12, which was always, forever, the center of power in the Pac-12. No more USC, no more UCLA. I'm not by any means saying that San Diego State is going to fill that void, but it is in Southern California. It is a top 30 market. It is trending towards Research One designation, which is going to be a huge deal when those big Pac-12 presidents get in the room and vote. That's the highest level of research designation you can get. Every school in the Big Ten has it. And I believe every school in the Pac-12. I'm not sure, but I think so. So that's a big deal. And, the stadium, Paul, it's the best stadium for its size maybe in the country. Now, you're going to say, there's not many stadiums, 35,000 people in FBS, but this thing could be expanded to host an NFL team, could be expanded for trying to get an MLS team, and it's just darn cool. And one of the most valuable pieces of real estate in the country.
Listen, Dennis, you've been there recently. It's a great place, but I just wonder, though, on the, college football fans can be pretty snobby, and and just the idea of San Diego State, I don't know, it would take some getting used to, but to their credit, they have a good program. Let me add a couple of things I want to talk to you about, including what Nick Saban is currently doing. But you mentioned SMU as well. Now, they've had a good program since they've been resurrected. What are you hearing on that?
Well, just based on reports and stuff I'm hearing, stuff I read, that the Pac-12 has some interest in SMU for no other reason to get into Texas, to get a foothold maybe in Texas recruiting. I don't know if SMU delivers Texas, if you know what I mean.
Sure.
It's a small private institution with a football, some football tradition, but that's a long way to go for the Pac-12 to do that. But I don't know. I don't know where their heads are at. Maybe they do want to do that. Maybe they don't. But I think it would be number 12 if they expanded. I think San Diego State, if they expand, would be number 11. And I'm continually reminded by people in the know that they may stop at 11. It may be a Pac-11 because you've got to sit there and go, what brings value to the Pac-12? San Diego State might join as a member without a full share, maybe forever, because it doesn't bring whatever sort of annual revenue that the Pac-12 is going to get for those existing 10 teams, which we don't know yet.
Dennis Todd with us from CBS Sports. It's being reported by many outlets that Nick Saban met today with Ryan Grubb, who is the Washington offensive coordinator. It sounds serious. He's interviewed a number of people. But you have just published a piece on what he is looking at on the defensive side of the ball. And I do want to ask you that, because the name that just won't go away is Jeremy Pruitt. What do you know, and what do you think is going on?
Yeah, I wrote today that they talked, per sources, about the job, about obviously the open DC job. I believe multiple times. I also hasten to say that I don't think, and it's pretty high in the story, Jeremy Pruitt's going to have a hard time getting hired at Alabama. And I think the reasons are obvious. I'm not pronouncing sentence on Jeremy Pruitt, but he's in the middle of a major investigation in Tennessee. It's different than Hugh Freeze trying to become an analyst at Alabama, because the Ole Miss case was concluded. It's different than Bruce Pearl being hired at Auburn when he had a show cause penalty hanging above his head because the Tennessee case was over. This is in the middle of 18 level one violations, which, you know, we can have another show about what happened there, but it's not a good look for Alabama if they hire him. So I don't think it's going to happen. They have talked.
Just overall, Dennis, on the Alabama situation, it's a rare opportunity for Nick Saban to hit the reset button with two new coordinators. After an absolutely disastrous year where they finished number five in the country, there's a lot of people wondering about his future and, of course, where the cat and mouse game with Georgia is. Just your perspective as someone who does not live in that footprint.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's, look, he's had great success with the offensive coordinators, one almost better than the other, as it's been in recent years, at least very, very successful when he shifted with Lane to the spread in 2014. That's what's led them to this point, basically. Defense was accounted for a long time with Kirby, who left after 15. And then it's been some guys after that. That's, you know, obviously a center of interest on that side of the ball. But to me, look, the most obvious candidate, if you don't count Jeremy Pruitt, two of the most obvious candidates aren't coming, Glenn Schumann and Will Muschamp. You know, Will Muschamp, those are the two co-coordinators of Georgia who, until, you know, further notice, are running college football. So why would you leave Georgia? Glenn Schumann, I think, has ties. But if you're Kirby Smart, you're telling Glenn Schumann the same thing Nick told Kirby when he was looking around. Look, stay here, get the absolute right job for yourself. Why do you want to go anywhere else? Because we're winning national championships. So, and to me, from what I've read, the list goes kind of down from that. So that's the concern, I think, among Alabama fans.
Let me ask you about Muschamp, because Will Muschamp has had, you know, quite a career, but you can't take quite an interesting career. You can't take anything away from the fact that he was a brilliant defensive coordinator and a rather mediocre head coach. Do you see him more likely at Alabama again after years away from Nick Saban because of the Schumann situation at Georgia, and of course Kirby Smart still involved in that conversation on the defensive side of the ball?
Yeah, I don't. I think he's very comfortable. Again, for the reason I stopped and saw him, I think it was the Tennessee game, and spoke to him a little bit. Not that that's a defining moment, but, you know, I've known him. He's very comfortable there. Obviously, they're winning. Could Alabama pay him more? We've seen, you know, salary battles between those two schools for other staff members. So maybe so, maybe not. But I just think at his point in his career where, look, there's, again, right now, at this moment, there's no end in sight for Georgia. And like you just said it, Alabama had the temerity to finish all the way to number five in the country. I always tell people that they could go 15-0 next year, and we're having a different conversation. That could happen. But, no, I get that sense that he's happy. I don't hear any rumblings about him in Alabama, so we'll see.
And not only that, Dennis, unless he plays poker in Vegas on the weekends, he's got about $35 million worth of dead money, doesn't he, from Florida and South Carolina? So I don't think easy for me to say, but I don't think he needs the money.
Yeah, no, I've forgotten about that. And not to say he's in a rocking chair relaxing at Georgia, because he's not, you know, Kirby pushes those guys. But that's another reason. He's got things to staff. So let's not forget what Georgia accomplished. 15 draft choices, 5 first rounders. How many on defense? Well, I think it was all 5 on defense, and they get better. They go 15-0, and now have what, a 17 game winning streak. And you know, now the challenge is doing it again. And I think that for me is one of the best off season stories. I think they got a heck of a chance to do something nobody else has done before, and that's a three-peat because of what they have in place. They need a quarterback, whether that's Carson Beck or somebody else. I think they have it in place, and you start with that schedule. It does not stand out as particularly tough.
No, it's
so
terrible.
I think they have a chance.
I mean, I know it's easy just to say the usual suspects, but if you had to look at this upcoming season, other than Georgia, which we got the schedule on the board here, and it's, I mean, the Tennessee game late in the year is treacherous, but that might be a freebie the way things are going. What who would you pick out of the pack to make the biggest run next year, other than Georgia?
You're making me look up my way too early top 25 so I can cheat on it. But
please,
you know, LSU is going to be a concern. I think that was a surprise in Brian Kelly's first year. You know, the question with them and Brian Kelly was, can he, you know, keep it where it was and get higher? Because 10 wins aren't going to be good enough at LSU. Brian Kelly's going to find that out, whether that's fair or not. Lane isn't going anywhere. They're going to be a concern. What, you know, to me, the story in the West is, where do you slot Texas A&M? Because they're not going to be picked to win. They're not. I think we learned a lot, Paul, last year, those of us who did this, and picked them in the top 5 or 6. We're not going to be fooled again. They're going to be better. They're not going to be 5-7. But I don't think they're going to challenge for the West title. And what does that look like in year 6? Where you shave another $9 million off 85 that would be owed him, I think. Would that be enough to make a move with two new coordinators? That's going to be interesting.
Great stuff. From Dennis Dodd with some great news and comments. We appreciate his time, as always. And we'll head to the break right now. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. And the head coach at Mississippi State will join us in the next hour.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And I-Man is the next caller. Come on down.
Come on down. You know, Paul, very interesting show. As a matter of fact, the Dennis Dodd interview is pretty good. That's probably the best interview you've had in a while.
Thank you.
But, you know, if I was a call screener and you had called in, and I said, well, what you want to talk about? I got to have a topic. I got to give guys something to read. And you said, well, we're going to talk about San Diego State. All right, and I typed that in, San Diego State, and then you go to Dennis Dodd, and he's talking about San Diego State and Pac-12, and I like the way you threw that curve. Because, see, that's what a lot of your callers do when they talk to the call screener. They throw curves. You went as fast as you could to get on that horse with no name in the desert to talk about Nick Saban. And then you started acting like a caller. Have they got a defensive coach? Have they got an offensive? I mean, is Muschamp, can we get him? Can we get him? Can we get Percy? I mean, can we get Huckleberry? I mean, can we get Tom Sawyer? Can we get anybody? I mean, that's amazing the way you do that. I mean, you're getting kind of desperate.
You should know this by now. I am a caller. I'm not a host.
You are a caller. And most people don't realize that, Coach. You know, you're such a good man. I love the way you express your heart all over these airwaves and give the little people time to talk because nobody else will. But you a good man. I love that North Alabama accent. You a good man.
I'm from Athens, Alabama.
And then I tell you, old Stetson 4, he's letting his freak flag go.
Yes, he is.
You know, he's out there. He walked the walk and talked the talk.
What's wrong with a little Saturday night drinking?
Yeah, I mean, what's wrong with it? I mean, if he's lucky, he'll end up in Shelby up there with Larry. And you know what? Larry can see some brand new trophies and rings, some that aren't quite so dusty. That'd be an interesting little conversation to watch them go fishing. You know, Paul, I thought Alabama was the greatest football team in the country, and they actually, in my count, they're the fourth best team in the SEC, let alone the country. And then their basketball team was just, I mean, you know, they world beaters, they world beaters. Look at them, look at them. Look at yonder, mama, look at yonder. I mean, it's amazing what happened to them over the weekend.
I mean, they had an off night. Come on, it happens.
An off night? That was an ass whipping.
They were only down by 32 points to an unranked team.
32 points, yeah, 32. I mean, what happened? You know, playing great basketball in January, you know what that means, Paul? Absolutely nothing. It's all about March. But we love the fact that they come down to the ground and they got that needed loss.
You could, yeah, but it could give them the spark they needed for the final run.
Oh,
yeah,
absolutely. They needed that. They needed to beat themselves so they could find that spark. And you got Alabama men's athletics, and you're just a quandary over there. I mean, the football team sucks, nothing to show for it. Basketball team sucks, nothing to show for it. And you're just, how many other guests you gonna?
They had a pretty good year in football, man. I mean, they were they should have been in the playoffs. You know that.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.